I'm going to tell you a story. Pretend this is the first time you've ever heard this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all people. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This wonderful church has four services on Christmas Eve, and each one is different. The first one is at 4 o'clock at Meadow Lakes, and that's a very sedate service. It's lessons and carols. And if any of you don't know what Meadow Lakes is, it's a continuing care retirement community over in Hightstown. So its residents and their families are there, and it is very sedate. Contrast that with the 5 o'clock children's service here, which is, can I say controlled chaos or barely controlled chaos? Yeah. But a lot of fun. just a lot of fun here. A lot of energy. Kids so excited because it's Christmas Eve, and they come to church and they act out the story and sing the songs that they've learned, and it's just a lot of energy and a lot of fun. And then the 9 o'clock service, which we had just a little while ago, someone said, you know, this feels like a family service. We're all together. It seems less formal, and it's just really comfortable being here. And then there's this service. And this service is such a special one. Can you feel it? There's a hum in the air. As all our preparations come to an end and the celebration begins. And I don't think it's just us here at Cranberry either. I think all of creation is humming tonight. When the membrane between heaven and earth is so thin that you can almost see through it. Tonight is the night that we measure all time against. Everything that happened yesterday is before Christ, and everything that happens tomorrow is after him. Tonight, we are living in the eternal now of God's coming among us. His name is Emmanuel, the God who is with us, who is made out of the same stuff we are, and who is made out of the same stuff God is, and who will not let either of us go. That is the main thing we are waiting for tonight, for that baby's cry. But that is not the only thing, because most of us are waiting for more than one thing, and they are not all the same. For instance, I bet someone of you is waiting to find out what's inside that large box underneath the Christmas tree. And someone else is looking forward to waking up in a house in which all the beds are full once again with children and grandchildren who have come home for the holidays. Somebody might have a new baby in their house, which means you are waiting for the first Christmas morning when you wake up in your own live nativity scene. But I know that there are others for whom this is a hard time of year. There is that empty chair to deal with, that stocking that stays folded in the box. All the rituals that were designed for two or more are now up to you alone, and it is like the sound of one hand clapping. Christmas is a season when you wait to see if the hurt has let up any since this time last year, and you want it to, so you can get on with your life, and you don't want it to, because that might mean that you've stopped caring. Meanwhile, the memories rise up to meet you, swamping you with a melancholy so sweet you can almost taste it at the back of your throat. For good or ill, every Christmas Eve functions like a kind of time machine for us, taking us back to every other Christmas Eve we have spent on this earth. For some, it's a reminder of the way life used to be, back when we were in the front row of the holiday show and not the stage managers of it. Christmas is the smell of pine and oranges stuck with cloves, the taste of roast turkey and peppermint. It is mom and dad sitting around in their bathrobes sipping coffee while the kids chase the new puppy through a sea of wrapping paper. For others, this night is a reminder of the way life should have been but never was. Those who have looked all their lives through other people's windows at such scenes of domestic bliss, but always as a peeping Tom and never as an insider. Everyone is supposed to go home for Christmas, right? Only where is that exactly? Some of us know, and some of us are still trying to find out. But tonight, the answer is right here. This is our home tonight, and we are all inside. This is our Bethlehem, where we have hauled the hopes and fears of all our years to lay them in front of the manger. No wonder this place is humming. It is full of our Christmas dreams and memories, including our ideas about what our lives should be like once God has been born into them. And if you are not sure what your ideas are, you can generally find some clues by looking at the Christmas cards you sent out this year. Or maybe you didn't send any out. Well, then look at the ones you received that you like. What kind of images are on them? What kind of words? Unless you or your friends have very strange tastes, changes are that peace, joy, and love are on a lot of them, along with pictures that embody those words. And if you are lucky, you actually got to walk around in some of those pictures in this season. You got to experience some peace, some joy, some love. Maybe enough to wonder why you do not walk around in them more often. However different our Christmases have been, one longing most people have in common this time of year is the longing for a calmer, purer, more centered life. And the way most people talk about that life usually has a lot of up words in it, as in rising above anxiety, or keeping our heads above water, or lifting our eyes up to the hills, as if belonging to God were a matter of being transported to God's presence for as long as possible, to a place like this one, where everything is beautiful and focused and right, just like a Christmas card. But do you know what? Even the pictures on our Christmas cards are only moments in time. If we could see past the edges, we would probably see some pretty familiar sights. I got a card a couple years ago that I've kept. I just love it because it's such a cozy sort of picture. A cozy little cabin snuggled in the snow with woods around it and one set of tire tracks running up to the door. But I'll bet that the lot next to it has been clear cut to make way for a subdivision, and that there's at least one rusted out car hidden in the woods. Well, I hope I'm not ruining your Christmas. What I mean is, even the very best pictures of Emmanuel and his family, the ones where the artist has really focused on the softness of the baby's skin, the warm bodies of the animals standing around him, heating the air with their breath, some of whom might have even licked him if Joseph and Mary had not been standing in the way, bending over him as if they were protecting God himself. Even those pictures do not show the whole story. You know it by heart, how the whole town was clogged with travelers, none of whom was there by choice. The emperor wanted them all counted and taxed, and he could have cared less about where they were going to sleep. That was their problem, not his. Still, you have to wonder what happened to Joseph's family. If Bethlehem was his hometown, then why didn't his own people take him in? I don't know, but they didn't. Joseph and Mary got a stall instead of a room, which is not as bad as we sometimes make it out to be, but still, it's not an ideal situation. With luck, maybe they got a pitchfork and a wheelbarrow. We know they got a feed trough because that's where they laid their treasure And that is when the picture was taken, right then, while the star was still overhead and the angels were still singing in the rafters. But 20 minutes later, what? The hole in the heavens had closed up, and the only music came from the bar in the inn. One of the cows stepped on a chicken, and the resulting racket made the baby cry. As she leaned over to pick him up, Mary started crying too. And when Joseph tried to comfort her, she told him that she wanted her mother. And if she had just married a nice boy whose hometown was Nazareth, she said she would be back home where she belonged instead of competing with sheep for a place to sleep. Then she said she was sorry, and Joseph said not to think another thing about it, and he meant it too. They both hurt all over, and there was nothing to eat, and it was cold as the dickens, but you know what? God was still right there, right in the middle of that picture. Peace was there, and joy and love. Not only in the best of times, but also and especially in the worst of times. Because during those times, there could be no mistake about who was responsible. It was God with us. God with us. Not God up there, somewhere, who answers our prayers by lifting us up out of our lives. But the God who comes to us in the midst of our lives, however far from home we are, however less than ideal our circumstances, however much or however little our lives reflect the Christmas cards we send, that is where God is born, just there, in any cradle we will offer him. On any pile of straw that we will pat together with our hands. Any of us who have prayed to be transported into God's presence this Christmas will get our wish, only not perhaps as we had thought. None of heaven's escalators are going up tonight. Everyone up there is coming down tonight, right here, right into our own Bethlehem, bringing us the God who has decided to make his home in our arms. Amen.